We're cooking with maple syrup on Wisconsin Weekend. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are four key steps in maple syrup production. There's the tapping, the collecting, the cooking, and then filtering and bottling. But arguably, the very best step is putting Wisconsin's sweet liquid gold into our favorite recipes. And we're going to do just that. How do you incorporate maple syrup into your cooking and baking? Do you have a maple syrup recipe you'd like to share, or any tips for cooking and baking with maple syrup and maple sugar? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Beth Dooley is a James Beard Award-winning author of 6 cookbooks. Her forthcoming one is called Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. Beth, welcome to the Ideas Network.
No, thank you. It's fun to be here. Good morning.
So as you start your cookbook, you talk about helping harvest maple syrup at a friend's cabin in northern Wisconsin, and you're using old-fashioned methods. What was that experience like?
It's really exhilarating. It's really cold and damp because, you know, you're out there in the spring and it's kind of muddy. But what I love is being around that pot of maple syrup as it boils down, and there's this wonderful sweet steam that comes up. And through the process, we would dip a ladle into the bubbling sap as it was beginning to reduce, and we'd make maple coffee or maple tea, or as it got thicker and thicker, we'd start to put it over ice cream, or we'd put it on snow and make maple sugar snow. And as it got really hard, you know, even more reduced, we'd ladle it onto a snowbank where it would seize up and become almost like a taffy or a candy.
Now, so you were experimenting
really
along the way.
Yeah, exactly. We're seeing the sap in all its different stages.
So how has that experience influenced your cooking and the recipes you make up?
Well, you know, what it really helped me understand is that maple has a number of different level flavors. And so when we begin to think about all of the different taste that it can bring to a dish, for instance, is not just sweet. Unlike sugar, which is simply sweet and really doesn't have much flavor, white sugar is actually very neutral. Maple syrup has a flavor as a sweetener. So it's slightly smoky. It's kind of unctuous. The syrup itself has a texture to it. And so when you begin to understand how to use those different properties in both sweet and savory foods, it can do a lot to boost flavor. And so in our book, as we work through things, we looked at ways it could enhance savory dishes as well as sweet dishes, because it's one, it can be used almost like a seasoning as well as a sweetener. And it brightens things that are peppery or herbal in surprising ways. Just a little bit can really make things bounce up.
Well, let's get into a recipe. And by the way, we have several of your recipes posted on the morning show page at WPR.org. And what a better way to start at, you know, 6 in the morning talking about breakfast, that we have cran apple baked oatmeal. What do you love about this?
Well, what I love is that it's not terribly sweet. And the smokiness of the maple syrup comes in. And then because you're adding some cranberries and some apples, a tart apple like a Harrelson, which you can still, you know, Harrelson or Honeycrisp or, you know, any of even a Granny Smith, when you add that and maybe some dried cranberries, or in the recipe we have fresh blueberries, but dried cranberries would be fine too, or even frozen cranberries, if you add those, you get this tart, sweet, really, you know, again, because you're packing the oatmeal with flavor, you don't need quite so much, and it tastes really good. So that's what the maple syrup does there.
What are you doing with the egg in this oatmeal recipe?
This is a baked oatmeal, so it's almost like a quiche, or it's not quite a muffin. I would call it more like a quiche. So it's sort of a savory, sweet quiche, and you're adding protein by adding the egg. to the oatmeal, to the baked oatmeal, because it's baked. And so you can make it ahead and warm it up in the morning if you like.
Oh, so you can make this at night, store it in the refrigerator, and then you can bake it basically as you go, get ready to go.
Correct. That's right. That's right. And you can, it's the kind of thing, too, you know, in this recipe, it serves 6 to 8. But if there are only 2 of you, you could make the batter. It's sort of like a batter. You make the batter the night before and keep it in the refrigerator, I would say maybe up to 2 days. And so you can make a couple of these. You can make one morning and one the next morning, and you're good to go.
And the recipe calls for old-fashioned oats, but it will also work with quick oats as well?
No, don't use quick oats. Don't use quick oats. It'll get too gummy. I mean, the nice thing about the old-fashioned rolled oats is, A, they have more flavor and texture, and, B, they're really better for you because you're using more of the whole grain. So you're getting more of the fiber and more of the nutrients.
Is there any way to make the recipe with non-dairy or gluten-free substitutes? Will it turn out the same?
Well, yes, you could. You could use rolled. I'm trying to think of grains that don't have gluten in them. I know for sure that you could use, you know, any of the non-dairy milks. Mm-hmm. You could use any of the nut milks, for instance, almond milk, or there is a there's Ripple, which is a non-dairy plant protein-based milk. You can find all of those in the grocery store. You could certainly use soy milk. Any of those, coconut milk, any of those would work just fine. And in terms of a grain that doesn't have gluten in it, I'm going through my mind and trying to remember which ones. I do believe that oats don't have gluten, so I think you're clear there. You're all right. Yeah, as long as you're using if you're buying the oats in bulk, as long as it will be marked, you know, processed in a facility that doesn't process gluten-based grains.
We're cooking with maple syrup and maple sugar. Beth Dooley is our guide. She's a cookbook author in Minneapolis, and her new one coming out this spring is called Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you tap trees in your backyard? How do you use your maple syrup in recipes? And what is the most unusual way you've used maple syrup? Call in at 800-642-1234. Before you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Beth, you write about how maple syrup and honey are healthier than regular sugar, or at least they aren't as perhaps bad for you. Why is that the case?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One, especially maple syrup, has a lower glycemic index. And, you know, glycemic, what that simply means is that it's not going to spike your blood sugar quite the same way that white sugar does. So it's absorbed more slowly by your system. And honey actually has some nutrients in it. So not a lot. You're not going to get a ton, but you will get a little more than you do by eating processed foods and processed sugar. So that's why. I also think because both of these ingredients have more flavor, I know for sure that I use less of them when I'm cooking and baking. For instance, I made brownies the other day, and I made a gingerbread cake substituting half the amount of maple sugar for the white sugar. And it had so much flavor, you really didn't miss the sweetness that you get if you were using pure white sugar.
We're cooking with one of Wisconsin's sweetest products, maple syrup, as the season for collecting sap is nearly upon us. And cookbook author Beth Dooley is our maple syrup guide. Her new cookbook coming out later this spring is called Sweet Nature, and it's about cooking with maple syrup and honey. How do you incorporate these ingredients into your recipes? What do you love about cooking with maple syrup? And what challenges come up in your kitchen? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to Wisconsin Weekend in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're cooking with maple syrup and maple sugar on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The amount of sap each maple tree produces can vary by season, but it's not uncommon for an average tree to yield around 20 gallons of sap. And Wisconsin ranks fifth in maple syrup production in North America. We are incorporating nature's sweet liquid gold into our recipes. Do you tap trees in your backyard? Do you buy fresh maple syrup and use it in your recipes or slather it on your piping hot pancakes? Let's talk about all of your maple syrup uses and your questions about what can you do with it in the kitchen. We're at 800-642-1234. Cookbook author Beth Dooley stays with us. She has at least six cookbooks under her belt. Her next one coming out this spring is called Sweet Nature, and it's recipes with honey and maple syrup. Beth, the recipes featured in this cookbook aren't just about baked goods or breakfast. You also look at main dishes. How can we incorporate the sweet and sometimes intense flavors of honey and maple syrup into savory main dishes?
You know, they add so much because that sweetness becomes a counterpoint to the spices and to the herbs and the salts and things. For instance, we have a sticky lamb rib recipe, and I love lamb ribs. I mean, lamb can get so expensive, and yet the ribs are have way more value as a cut. They're really pretty thrifty. And in that recipe, we use honey, but you could easily substitute maple syrup as well. And they turn out to be really kind of sticky, and the sweetness of both the honey or the maple syrup heightens the spice in these. So you get a really flavorful glaze on these ribs. They're slow cooked. They're really delicious. They're melty. They're just delicious. The same thing with, I found that if I add a little bit of maple syrup, for instance, to a salad dressing, it again helps make the salad dressing a little more viscous, a little thicker, and so I don't need quite as much oil. And that also adds that just a little bit of sweetness that helps balance the acid and then bumps up the flavor of that dressing. So we have some wonderful salad dressings in the book, as well as glazes, too.
I love on the sticky lamb ribs that you really combine hot and sweet, because mm-hmm. it calls for a tablespoon of chili powder. And there's also some smoked paprika in there. So there is a lot of different flavors going on in there.
Yeah, there are. And it's the kind of recipe that just makes you want to lick your fingers, you know? because all of that melts together. And then there's just enough fat on the lamb ribs that they just become really unctuous and sticky.
So Chris emailed and said his go-to salmon recipe involves a mixture of stone ground mustard and maple uh-huh. syrup, and said it's fantastic, and the mustard balances out the sweetness of the syrup. Is maple a great pairing for seafood?
It is. It's a wonderful pairing for seafood. And we have a couple of seafood recipes in the book. And Chris's sounds really, really good because, yes, with the mustard, you get that snap and a little bit of heat, and you also get that saltiness, which is a nice sort of counterpoint to the maple. So way to go. That's terrific. And we do have a few seafood recipes in the book. We have a couple of marinades, actually. We have one for salmon that uses maple, and we have another one for herring, which I know, again.
Did you just say herring?
Yes,
because people have really baggage about herring.
I'm sorry, what?
People carry a little bit of baggage about herring. It's got some, some issues.
I know it does. And I find that really unfortunate because my co-author, Mette Nielsen, is from Copenhagen. And, they eat herring in Denmark all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so she's like, herring is such a great fish, and it's really great when it's marinated. So, and the nice thing about marinating it is far less oily. It's the flavors sort of mellow a little bit. So check out the marinated fish recipes in the book, as well as we also have a baked salmon recipe in the book that uses, again, a little bit of maple syrup. And it's that kind of a glaze, the maple and mustard, is really good on poultry as well. It's delicious on duck. So there are lots of things you can do with it that, again, bump up the flavors because you're dealing with that salty, savory, sweet combination.
So when we're at the grocery store and we're standing in front of our maple syrup options, can you help us understand the different grades of maple syrup and what we should be going for and choosing when? It's you know, kind of tricky.
Yeah. Well, I think the main premise of the thing to remember is that the darker the color, the stronger the maple flavor will be. And in understanding that, that's kind of my guide anyway to knowing what to choose, because those different grades have changed over time and they can be a little bit confusing. And so just very briefly, grade A is very golden and very delicate. That's that very, very light syrup, and that's usually the most expensive. And that's the first syrup of the season to be tapped. That has the lightest color and the most delicate flavor. And I like that where you want the maple syrup to shine, okay, where you want to be able to taste its delicacy. So you'd use that on pancakes, for instance, or maybe drizzle it over yogurt. The next one down is the grade A. They're all grade A. The next one is an amber color, and that has a richer flavor. It's just a little bit darker than the grade A, and that's from a mid-season sap. And it's a little smoother, a little bit rounder. It's great for baking. It's terrific in cocktails and tea. And, you know, you can make some really good cocktails, especially when it's paired with bourbon or rum, any of the darker liquors. The darker and the syrup gets, the more robust the flavor is going to be. It's going to be a little stronger, a little deeper. It's going to taste a little more like brown sugar. And that is really wonderful on when you use it in barbecue sauces or as glazes for grilled meats. And it's good in coffee because coffee is brown and strong. And so that color can sort of stand up to the acidity or the darkness in the coffee. And then the very dark and very strong is actually probably my favorite. It's, if you can find it, buy a big jug of it, because that's got it's the most robust of the maple flavors. And it's thick, and it's a wonderful substitute for molasses. If you like working with molasses, it's great in a gingerbread. Mm. It's wonderful drizzled over a grilled piece of meat at the last minute. It's terrific on pork with a little bit of mustard, because that maple flavor really shines through in the darkest. The darker the color, the stronger the flavor is going to be.
Talking with Beth Dooley, she is the author of Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. Getting your questions about using honey and maple syrup at 800-642-1234. You can email them to ideas@wpr.org. And so, Beth, as we talk about the different grades of maple syrup, near them are all of these other imitation maple, you know, syrups that are not actually maple syrup. So there is a distinction.
There is. Oh.
I don't want to name names.
No, don't name names, but don't buy those. They're really not good for you. They don't taste very good. They're just a mixture of corn syrup, basically, with some maple flavor. They're imitation, and they're cheap, but they're not worth it. You know, I mean, the nice thing about buying a really good, robust maple syrup, maybe buy one of the darker syrups, because you're going to get the true maple flavor without that funky kind of aftertaste that you get in the fake maple syrups. I mean, I wouldn't bother with those at all. If you can't afford maple syrup, then just buy a little maple sugar and sprinkle that on top, because it's really not worth it to use something that is simply cheap.
Speaking of maple sugar, help us understand how you make it, use it, and you know, where how it comes together.
Yeah, I you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful product. I buy it in bulk at the co-op, and it's made by boiling off the liquid in the maple sap. So it's just a granulated form. It's a very concentrated form of the maple syrup. And I use it just like I do white sugar. In fact, I think it's a fabulous substitute for white sugar. It's got more flavor because you have a little bit of that maple flavor still in the sugar. And because it is a sweetener, but because it also has flavor, I think it's a fabulous substitute for white sugar in just about any baked product. So I use it when I'm making breads, or if I'm making, as I said, gingerbread, and it makes a fabulous brownie. And in all of those recipes, I've cut way back on the quantity of white sugar and substituted maple sugar in those recipes. And you still get plenty of sweetness. The sweetness shines through because you have a little more flavor. The products work, they turn out exactly the same as they would if I'd had the amount of sugar called for in that recipe. So if you want to stick to the actual recipe and just substitute 1 cup for 1 cup of maple sugar for white sugar, go ahead and do so, because it performs exactly the same way. You just get more flavor out of it.
Does the maple sugar intensify the color of what you're cooking at all, out of curiosity?
Not quite so much. It's not that much. It's like a very light brown sugar.
Okay.
So a little bit, you'll get a little more browning. If you're going to make a pound cake out of it, for instance, it will be a more golden color, which I find very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you will get a little bit of that maple flavor. So it might be better off in, if you're adding, instead of adding lemon to the pound cake, you might be better off adding orange, for instance, which seems to taste a little better with maple than does lemon. But lemon would be fine, too.
We're going to have to pause right there. Maple syrup season is just around the corner. Beth Dooley is guiding us in the kitchen. Her cookbook is called Sweet Nature. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When we come back, a conversation continues about maple syrup here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the sweet goodness of Wisconsin maple syrup on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Maple syrup is known to have naturally occurring minerals. It seems to have a good effect for diabetics in moderation, and it also has antioxidant properties. We're learning how to use it in our recipes as the maple syrup production season is almost upon us, and you can join in with your maple suggestions in the kitchen at 800-642-1234. Maple syrup and honey are staples for baked goods, but what about in your salads, in your drinks, or main dishes? Share your recipes at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Cookbook author Beth Dooley stays with us. Her forthcoming cookbook is all about cooking with maple syrup and honey. Beth, what are the flavor differences between honey and maple syrup? And when you think of their consistencies and flavors that they bring, do you make decisions in your recipes to use one or the other based on what they bring?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I don't want to make the answer too complicated. It really just comes down to flavor. The stronger flavors of maple syrup are going to be the darker maple syrups. And so the very light, the amber and the golden maple syrups will be a little more neutral, and they'll be closer in flavor to the very light honeys. So, again, if you're looking at honey that is single source honey and raw honey, each of them has a different flavor, which is really fun. And I don't want people to feel confused or complicated, because the idea of understanding these flavors is more to sort of add joy to whatever it is you're making. And honey that is not raw, once you boil honey or you process honey, that honey does not have the same distinct flavors, because many of the flavors evaporate in the processing process. So that honey, the processed honey, is what you might use in baking, for instance, or in something that you're cooking on the stove, because you'll lose all of the nuances that come with raw honey. Now, that said, raw honey offers a lot of different flavors. So, you could use, for instance, a buckwheat honey, which is very, very much like molasses. It's a very dark, rich, almost bitter tasting honey. It's fabulous. But you'd use it, I use it like molasses, in something that calls for molasses, in a barbecue sauce, for instance, or again, in a ginger cake, or work with on a pot roast, where I want to make it really extra dark tasting at the end, the way you can with a molasses, for instance. But some of the lighter honeys, like basswood honey or linden honey, which has a really delicate floral flavor, that's wonderful where you want that raw flavor to come in. So that might be something that you drizzled over yogurt, for instance, or maybe just drizzled over a panna cotta at the very end before you serve it. You could also do that with a very light maple syrup. So again, a lot of it just comes down to taste. Just taste these different things before you use them and think about how they might enhance something.
Well, let's talk veggies for all the vegetable lovers out there. There's another recipe here, and we have it posted on the morning show page at WPR.org. It's your winter salad with roasted squash and maple pickled shallots. There are so many crazy cool things going on in this salad. Can you explain it?
Yeah, well, we have a recipe for pickling shallots with maple, and it's wonderful because, again, you just add another dimension by adding the maple syrup, or by pickling the shallots in the maple syrup, and they're wonderful that way. It just brightens them. They have this wonderful sort of savory, sweet, you know, shallot-y flavor, and the thing I love about shallots is they're not as bitter as garlic, and so they mellow as they're pickled. And maple and any winter squash are wonderful combinations. Same thing with sweet potatoes. Maple and sweet potatoes are just fabulous. There's something about those woodsy, earthy notes in both the squash and the sweet potatoes that makes them so right for maple syrup, because maple syrup, again, has that woodsy, earthy sweetness to it, and the two of them partner beautifully together. So that's what we're doing in that salad. And it's not nearly as complicated. That salad, and you can make the different components at different periods of time. You don't have to make them all at once. Actually, when we made it, we had made the different components separately on different days, and they were really just leftovers of different recipes, and we put them together. We thought, wow, that's a great salad. So that's how that recipe came about.
Well, the shallots, the maple, you've got some maple vinegar going on with maple sugar and a vanilla bean. What happens when the vanilla goes in there?
Well, again, vanilla is from a tree. It's a woodsy product, and that heightens the woodsy flavor of the maple. And the vanilla and maple are a lovely combination. Actually, vanilla is also used to enhance bourbon sometimes. And so all of those flavor ways just seem to work really naturally well together. So that's why we put that in there. It just seemed like a good idea because of the different flavors. So we're combining a lot of flavors and creating all of these surprises. But it's something that my co-author seems to do naturally. Again, coming from Denmark and Copenhagen and the northern flavors, when you begin to pair them, just seems, you know, Mother Nature knew what she was doing, right?
Well, when we pickle these shallots, can we leave them in our refrigerator for a little while and then use them as we go?
Yes, exactly right. And in that case, because we're not canning them, we're not doing a water bath with them, we keep them in the refrigerator, and they'll keep for about a month in the refrigerator just fine. And then you can scatter them over roast chicken as it comes from the oven, or you can whip them into mayonnaise to make a spread for a sandwich. You can use them in lots of different ways. So they're not limited to using in this particular salad. It's nice just to have them on hand.
So when we talk about maple syrup, why do we use maple syrup and not syrup from other trees? What about the maple?
Well, the maple tree is the most prodigious producer of sap for syrup. And certainly there are other trees that do give sap. Birch gives sap, and that creates a much different syrup. It's a little, it's a little darker tasting. It has a sort of bitterness to it and almost a fruity kind of essence to it. So that's a much stronger tasting syrup because the tree, the birch trees produce less. You can also tap beech trees and get a syrup from them. But because maple produces the most sap, that's what's most available to us in market. And I know that people that have those other trees in their backyard or on their farms often tap them and turn out syrup. You can buy it online, actually. It's expensive, the syrups from other trees, but that's why we use maple.
Let's go to Barb joining us from Milwaukee. Good morning, Barb.
Hi. I love maple syrup and use it in all of my cooking and baking. And it's really nice to just add like a tablespoon or so to other dishes, either curries or chilies or anything, just to brighten them a bit. But something that I found I really like to do is to use it as a marinade. When marinating things like tofu and tempeh, the maple syrup gives it just an extra layer of flavor in there, especially if you're doing tempeh and you want it to be kind of like bacon, doing it with a little bit of tamari soy sauce and maple and maybe just a drop of smoke flavor really just gives it such a yummy, sweet, smoky, salty goodness.
I love the description.
Wonderful.
I know.
Really good.
Beth, what do you think of that in marinades?
It's an awesome idea. Barb's spot on. I think it's great. And as she said, you don't need a lot. Just a little bit goes a long way.
Barb, do you tap maple trees, or do you buy it in the grocery store?
I buy it in the grocery store, and I also have a friend who lives up north and has lots of trees, and she does share with us also. But we really like they used to call it grade B, the darker syrup that's rich and hearty.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And Barb, do you find that's the best one for the marinades?
It is. Yeah, it really is. The other ones are, you know, they're almost like candy. They're just too light. It's not much there. So, yeah.
Well, Barb, thank you so much for calling in and with that suggestion. It sounds like, too, it's nice to have, it's good to know friends in northern Wisconsin. I think that might be the moral, right?
So, exactly.
well, Beth, when you look at honey and maple syrup, are there particular honey recipes that you really appreciate over the years and incorporating more honey into your recipes?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I love doing is working with the different single source honeys that do have different flavors. So the basswood honey, for instance, is so delicate tasting and so floral tasting. It's really nice in an herbal tea. It's great in like a mint tea or a chamomile tea because it really pulls up, especially a chamomile tea, because it really pulls out the floralness of a chamomile tea. And I like using honey as a glaze. It works like maple syrup as a glaze. In that case, because I'm not going to taste the different nuances in the honey unless it's a very, very dark honey. You know, you can use almost any honey. A simple clover honey works well when you're cooking or in a glaze. But it's fun to play with the different single-source honeys just to recognize the different floral notes that they bring to a dish. Buckwheat honey, as I mentioned earlier, is a wonderful, wonderful substitute for molasses, for instance. And honey is a wonderful way, too, to whip into a spread, into butter. Honey, not butter, is terrific. I think honey and maple syrup are both products that... They're both sweeteners that really are. Maple syrup is indigenous to our area, and we're one of the few places on earth that produces beautiful maple syrup.
You have to stop right there. Thank you for joining us. Yes. Beth Dooley is a James Beard Award-winning author of 6 cookbooks. Her new one coming out in April called Sweet Nature. You can find several recipes from that cookbook over on the Morning Show page at WPR.org, including those sticky lamb ribs and the Cran apple baked oatmeal. Stay with us as we talk Wisconsin maple syrup industry here on the Ideas Network. Maple syrup season is so close. You can taste it. We're talking about maple syrup production and the industry here in Wisconsin on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As temperatures start to warm up and spring just around the corner, maple syrup producers are out in the woods with their trees collecting sap. What do you want to know about tapping maple trees? Or are you a maple syrup producer? What is your experience in producing these products? We're at 800-642-1234. Justin Barone is the 2018-2019 marketing intern for the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, and he serves as an ambassador for the Wisconsin maple industry. Justin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
So what are Wisconsin's maple syrup producers like? Introduce us to them.
So basically we have 320 members. They range from 6 taps to 50,000 taps. And basically, like, all of our members' goal is to help promote maple syrup and kind of gain insight in, like, new production methods, along with, like, learn the new, like, different nutritional values that maple syrup does have.
Is there a typical amount of number of trees that a producer has, or does it vary widely?
Yeah, it varies widely. So it goes from, like, 6 to, like, 50,000 taps. That's what our producers go from.
That's
so there's a big range.
Quite a range. How do you tap a maple, you know, to get that sap? Walk us through the process.
So basically you start by finding your maple trees. So this can be done usually in the fall just by, like, looking at the leaves. And then you drill your holes with a drill bit, and it's, like, usually an inch and a quarter to, like, 2 inches you drill in. And then you either pound something called a spigot, which is, like, a little tap, and then basically you either put a pail on it or tubing, and from there you collect it and bring it to your sugar house where you cook it down.
How much sap does the average maple tree produce?
Usually, like, 20 to 25 gallons worth of maple syrup.
And that tree will...
maple syrup sap, I mean.
Yeah, that tree will be producing that sap for its life.
Yeah, exactly.
So when does maple sugaring season start? What are the ideal conditions?
Usually it's around mid to late February, and then it goes to, like, middle of April. And usually it starts when it's around freezing, so, like, 32 degrees. That's usually when the season starts.
And how long does the season last?
Usually till, like, mid-April, so, like, a month and a half, 2 months.
All right. So there definitely is a sweet spot there with the weather. So beyond syrup, what other products are available from Wisconsin sap?
There's a large variety of products, actually. There's actually someone who just made this, like, sports, like, energy booster for athletes. And then there's maple candy. There's maple cream, which is really good. Trying to think about maple cotton candy. There's just a big variety of products. A lot of producers are trying to add value to their products because it's worth a lot more.
How is maple syrup a part of your family?
My family's been doing it for over 50 years, so... Every season, our whole family, and I have, like, 30 cousins, so our whole family just comes together and takes part in the whole process.
So you have quite the tradition, and does basically everyone have a job?
we basically every day we have someone from our family's over, and we just usually tap trees every day.
Do you love this season? Do you look forward to it?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What is it about tapping a tree that you appreciate?
I think it's just the fact that you're around your family. You see them a lot more, and it's just a great bonding experience. I think that's the biggest part for it.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Justin Barone is the 2018-2019 marketing intern for the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, and he serves as an ambassador for the Wisconsin maple industry, and he joined us there to talk about the start of maple sugaring season in Wisconsin. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a visit to a community garden.
Metcalf Park Legacy Garden in Milwaukee has transformed several vacant lots into a vibrant place for community gatherings and education.
Oh, yeah, these the beets.
Yeah, these the beets. And over here we got
The garden is overseen by the Medcalf Park Community Bridges Organization and Groundwork Milwaukee, which provides modest stipends for neighborhood kids to work on the garden in the summer months. The Lands We Share Farming History Project visited the garden and spoke with Community Bridges Director Danelle Cross. She talks about what gardening means to her, the community, and the city of Milwaukee.
These are onions, and these right here, carrots. Some of them is weeds.
This like a carrot, I believe. These right here.
All right. So we got an hour left, y'all. Y'all want to just jump in this garden and get some work done, all right? So come on over to the beds here. I want everybody to grab some.
Hi, my name is Danelle Cross. I am the executive director of Medcalf Park Community Bridges. We first started out doing this work as a group of residents. The garden was not just for children. It was for the whole community, so kids and old people and young people and family and boys and girls and men and women. We had a huge, huge amount of people building that garden. It was at least 30 residents out there. And so I got sold on the garden, which I wasn't sold at first, but I got sold on it because of the activity of it. I worked down the street and next door, and I would come to take my break every day at the garden. It was so beautiful. The wood was beautiful. The mulch was beautiful. The plants was beautiful. And I started eating stuff that I never would eat off the vine. Like bell peppers. I never had a raw bell pepper in my life. If you didn't cook it and stuff it, you didn't eat it. You know, so I started eating raw bell peppers. They taste so different from the stove. So now I can't eat them from the stove. So I would go there every day, and I would pluck off my lunch.
So you
I'll
taste it.
I'll
you
try it.
Okay, yeah, let me say that. Would you taste it?
I taste it.
It's almost 2:45. We just got through this discussion.
We started to do the work in 2012, right? When I got there, it was two vacant lots, just two. And we put the first garden on one of them. And then another house got tore down. I don't even remember what it looked like. What bothered me about it is that I couldn't even recall it in my memory that these houses had came down in a way that we couldn't even remember that they were ever there. That in itself caused me a moment to pause and really kind of get a little bit afraid for what could possibly happen if we don't come together and push at the city to work with us to develop our neighborhood. You know, people say Black Lives Matter. The reason they're saying that is because we see in so many cases that they don't matter to people outside of Black communities. Well, Medcalf Park people matter. And so I'm constantly saying these children matter. They should have a decent place to play. And I'm gonna keep saying it till people understand it, that unless you invest in Medcalf Park and communities like it, it will spill over and affect this whole city.
Because we're gonna work together, so we're all gonna weed together, okay? Then we're all gonna plant together, and we're all gonna water together, okay?
This story is part of the Lands We Share series and was edited by Craig Ely. The Lands We Share exhibit is at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society in Milwaukee through March 1st, with a community conversation and dinner taking place there later this month. Learn more at landsweshare.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org, and we'll explore your tip. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.